May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be of good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The text of our sermon today comes from Exodus chapter 36. And they brought unto him a freewill offering morning by morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the holy place brought man by man from his work which they wrought. And the work was sufficient for all the work to do it. And there was left over. And every man wise in heart with them that wrought the work made the habitation. These words describe the freewill offering of both material and workmanship that was given to build the tabernacle of the Lord. For the Lord's kingdom, which the tabernacle represented, can only be built from freedom and love. Would that every kingdom and nation in the world could be built in the same way. This is indeed the will of our Lord, as can be seen from the doctrine of charity, where we read, one's own country is the neighbor according to its goods, spiritual, moral, and civil. In the idea of every man, that country is as one. All the laws, therefore, both the laws of justice and economical laws, are enacted as for one. One's country, then, is, as it were, a man in aggregate and is called a body. It is good. Its good, which is promoted, is called the public good or the common good. This common good was described in our reading from the Doctrine of Charity as consisting of the existence of divine among the nation and also justice, morality, industry, knowledge, uprightness, and the necessities of life, the things necessary to their occupations and things necessary for protection and sufficiency of wealth. From this arises the common good. And yet it does not come from these themselves, but from the individuals there, for through the goods of use which the individuals perform. Just as the building of the tabernacle depended upon the materials and workmanship given freely from the heart of each individual among the sons of Israel, so the common good of our nation and of every nation and kingdom on earth depends upon the goods of use of each of her citizens. As we read from the Doctrine of Charity, every common thing is from particulars, and for this reason it is called common. Whatever, therefore, is the quality of its parts, such is the quality of that which is common. What makes this common good in a nation is charity and mutual love. It says in heaven and hell that no other government than the government of mutual love is possible in the heavens. And the government of mutual love is heavenly government. And we read further concerning heavenly government that all these forms of government agree in this, that they look to the public good as their end, and in that good, to the good of the individual. Each one, moreover, receives good according as he loves the common good. And so far as he loves the common good, he loves all and everyone. And as that love is love of the Lord, he is in that love to that extent loved by the Lord, and good comes to him. The doctrine of charity also tells us that so it is on earth, for earthly society corresponds to heavenly society. Thus, we find a wonderful balance in the heavenly doctrine between the good of the individual and the good of society and the nation. There is no question that the good of the society and the nation, the common good, is a greater good than the good of the individual, and to be loved more than oneself and one's family. And yet we are also taught that this common good is not from itself, from the church or from the nation, but from the Lord alone, as it is received by each individual. This is beautifully described in the Arcana Celestia as follows. Everyone in the society in heaven communicates his good to all who are in the society, and all therein communicate with each one, whence arises the good of all in common, that is, the common good. This good is communicated to the common good of other societies, whence arises a good still more common, and finally one most common. Such is the communication in heaven, and hence it is that they are a one. Just as the organs, members, and viscera in man, which, although various and dissimilar, nevertheless, by such communications, form a one. Such communication of goods is possible only through love, which is spiritual conjunction. The universal thing that forms and brings into order all things in common and particular is the divine good of the divine love from the Lord. And for this we pray daily, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. At first, this prayer seems like a prayer for something in the future, something that will come after a time and times and half a time. And there is truth in this, for the Lord's kingdom is to come to mankind in general and to reach its fullness. But for spiritual charity and genuine love to the Lord to become the common love of a nation and of the world, many evils and falsities must first be removed and dispelled from the heart and the spirit of mankind. And this can only happen gradually. But the common good is not something that is imposed from outside, something we must wait for from our society, nation, or church. It may appear that way, for it is the common good. And it is the good that we see and receive from those around us, from society and the nation and the church. Yet the common good is according to the quality of the individuals in society, nation, and the church. We read in the conclusion of the Doctrine of Life that with everyone, Christian charity consists in his performing faithfully the duties of his calling. For thus he shuns evils as sins. He does what is good daily and is himself his own use in a common body. Thus also the common good is provided for, as well as that of each individual in particular. And so we say each day in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. And the very next words we say show us that this prayer can also be answered each day. Give us this day our daily bread. For the good that we receive and share each day is the daily bread that is given to us by the Lord and which we break and share with our neighbors. For everyone who looks to the Lord and shuns evils as sin, if sincerely, justly, and faithfully does the work of his office and employment, becomes a form of charity. And the form of charity is both a form which can receive the common good and a form which promotes and provides the common good to those around him, to the church, to the nation, and to society. Now, as we seek and pray for the common good of our society and nation, we see many things around us that work against it. The decline in morality, the violence of criminals, the dishonesty of various companies and people, and the hostility, hatred, and revenge of peoples and even nations. But the real enemy of the common good does not lie in society itself, in big companies or organizations of nations and peoples, but in the actions and motivations of each individual. Just as the common good, which originates from the Lord, must come through the individuals in society, unfortunately, so evils do as well, which can be also rendered the common evil. This originates in hell and opposes the common good of society and the nation. But it also enters the world through individuals and their spiritual choices. Therefore, this enemy of the common good is not a nameless evil or some generic problem with no personal identity, some political persuasion or economical system. Yes, just as the common good is held in common by many people, so also there are common evils and persuasions that lead many astray. But the cause always goes back to each individual when he or she accepts, endorses, or promotes those things which oppose what is good and true. But lest we begin naming individual people we know or know of as the enemies of the common good in society, of the nation and of the church, let us ask the Lord for a name. And he gives us many. The devil and Satan, the old serpent who deceives the world, Babylon, Sodom and Egypt, Beelzebub and Lucifer, and even Legion, for they are many. Each of these names represents various evils and lusts that plague the human race, such as love of dominion, selfishness, lust and adultery, the pride of self-intelligence, and many others. And yet again, lest we start looking at individuals around us, let us look at the enemy most often named by the Lord in the heavenly doctrines, which is the name devil signifies. This enemy is the love of self. The opposition of the love of self to the common good is clearly set forth throughout the Word, and also throughout the history of the human race, and in the world around us today. If we are willing to look where most loves to hide, we will find it within ourselves. We are taught in heaven and hell that many in the world believe that the love of self is a good thing, that it is a motivator which promotes man to usefulness and benefits society in general. Indeed, it is called the very fire of life, that seeking profit as an end in view means a useful company that adds to the commonwealth of the nation. And there is something of truth in this, for the Lord in his providence continually bends what is done, even if for a selfish motive, to what is good for others and perhaps even for the individual. We can think of many examples where this is the case. Such good done from the love of self may contribute to the external goods of society. But such motivation actually undermines the common good itself. Thus we read further in the same paragraph from the True Christian Religion that the nature of the love of self can be made clear by comparisons with the heavenly love. Heavenly love is loving uses for the sake of uses, goods for the sake of the goods, which man does for the church, his country, human society, and the fellow citizen. But he who loves these for his own sake loves them only as he loves his household servants, because they serve him. From this it follows that he who is in the love of self wishes the church, his country, society, and his fellow citizens to serve him instead of him serving them. He places himself above them and them beneath himself. From True Christian Religion, number 400. From these teachings on the nature of love of self, we can see clearly why we do not have to look very far to find what we must do in answer to the Lord's prayer, "Thy kingdom come." It is obvious where we must focus to help establish the Lord's kingdom on earth, for this will come into society, a nation, a church, as the common good comes forth from the Lord through the work of each individual. We are taught that this is enemy of the common good, as continuing in True Christian Religion, lurks in everyone who is in the love of self, although it is not apparent before the world, where it is held in check by reins and bonds. And any such man, when the impossible blocks his way, remains quiet until the possible comes about. Because of all this, the man who is in the love of self is not aware that such an insane and limitless lust lurks within him, for it is his inherited evil, which is loving oneself more than God and the world more than heaven. In some ways, these teachings could lead us to despair. But if we are honest with ourselves, we can see that these teachings actually give us real direction and hope. For the establishment of the common good does not depend on us bringing about some great change in society, some monumental task we need to accomplish. The Lord clearly shows us the part that the church and civil government provide in relation to the common good. The church provides what is divine, which should be among men, and the civil government, both national and local, provide that justice should exist. And when the church teaches what is good and true and civil government enforces what is just and right, then what is moral is supported and upheld as well. But the doctrine of charity does not actually say that the church and civil government provide these aspects of the common good, but rather that the individual ministers, governors, magistrates, and judges do this. To quote again from the doctrine of charity, what is divine is there through ministers, the justice through magistrates and judges, and so morality exists by means of the divine and justice. Again, the responsibility for the common good does not lie in some organization, but in each individual and his reception of that good. In the measure that ministers, civil servants, and judges put their own popularity, honor, or personal gain and position above the law and the use which they are there to administer, in the same measure the common good is injured. But in the measure that they put what is good and true, what is lawful and right, above themselves, in the same measure the common good is promoted and protected. The same is also true in the business and professional world, and in every occupation, whether forensic or domestic. It seems that somehow common good is generated by an institution, business, or the profession itself, when yet the common good is only there in the measure that the individuals within the organization, companies, and professions look to the common good as greater than their own profits and honor. For in this way, the necessities and even the wealth of society and nations are provided for. If we look closely at the words of our reading from the Doctrine of Charity, we can see that the necessities of life and the necessities for uses and the sufficiency of wealth will depend primarily on the work of individuals in services, industry, commerce, and the agriculture of the nation, much more than they do upon civil government and its services. These teachings show us that honest and good work of each individual forms the backbone and strength of the commonwealth, and that laws of economy in a nation are simply there to promote and protect this commonwealth by maintaining justice and uprightness. And again, what is provided for the common good by civil government or the church only is there in accordance to the faithful service of the individual lawmakers, governors, civil servants of the national, state, and local governments. But in reality, the most important area of focus in our lives, if we seek to promote the common good of the church, the country, and society, is our home. For the common good is promoted with each individual within the family, when the family does what is needed and expected for the sake of others, and not simply for themselves. As the common good comes into society from the individual's reception and performance of a specific use, so also it comes into each home, and from the home into society. The home cannot be neglected for what seems to be some greater use to society. The church and the country and society are indeed the neighbor in a higher degree than our specific family, because they contain more of the Lord's children and citizens of his kingdom. But conjugal love and the conjunctive use of raising and caring for children are at the heart of every heavenly use. In fact, we are taught in the Arcana Celestia about the proper order of these three heavenly loves. There are loves of three kinds that constitute what is heavenly of the Lord's kingdom, namely conjugal love, love for infants, and the love for society, or mutual love. Conjugal love is the principal love of all, because it has within it the end of the greatest use, namely the propagation of the human race, and thereby the Lord's kingdom, of which it is the seminary. Love towards infants follows next, being derived from conjugal love, and then comes the love for society, or mutual love. From these teachings about the common good of the Lord's kingdom, we can see that although it does indeed originate from the Lord, and that the Lord alone can form and bring forth the common good, it does not come from organizations, governments, or churches in general. Instead, it comes from and depends on each one of us, looking to the Lord, shunning evils as sins against him, performing our daily use for the sake of our neighbor, our nation, and our Lord's kingdom, and the Lord himself. This is something each of us can do. We each have our own use before us. We each have those around us with whom we can share this use for their sake and for the sake of the good of the use itself. And each of us has the enemy within ourselves to flee from and keep back, which seeks to turn this use and its good to ourselves, away from what is just, sincere, and faithful, to what is self-serving and contemptuous, and even vengeful and cruel if not thwarted. Let us bring our free will offering, giving what we can according to our use, to build the tabernacle of the Lord, his kingdom on earth. And in this measure that we do so, for the sake of the Lord and the neighbor, in the same measure, the common good of society, the nation, and the church will increase, and the Lord's kingdom will come. Amen. Now to the one only God of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, be glory and dominion forever and ever.